Hello, Internet. Welcome to episode 60 of the Making Geeks podcast. We are the podcast for makers, dads, and geeks. And today we have our resident celebrity with us, Mr. Josh Price.
Hello.
We have the guy who could do some interesting voiceovers right now, Mr. Mark O'Keefe.
The Frogman.
Mr. Wes Swain.
I don't get a cool intro. Okay, I see how it is.
I couldn't think about something that quick enough.
You didn't and the mild-mannered, normal person.
You've been low-key lately.
Yeah. And most days I'm Sean Joliker. How you guys doing?
Who are you the other days?
Mr. Joliker.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, he's back to work.
He's back to teacher mode.
Yeah.
Cool, Mr. J.
Yeah, students on Monday, just, you know, getting stuff set today. It's going to be an interesting year.
So do you guys scope of the crowd?
Not yet.
Did you pick out your favorites already?
I will on Monday. Yeah. I'll give the full report next week.
Whoever pisses them off the least.
You know what? I'll judge it by how many of them know who I am. Do you know who I am? Okay, you get an A.
Do you have a thing like kids who sit on the front row always fail? Or like you sit in that chair, like that chair has never done well.
I don't let them pick their seats, and I move them around, so there's nothing.
Oh, you shuffle them around?
Based on their ability, yeah.
This is my world.
We call it heterogeneous grouping.
Dum-dums over there. And smarty-arties over there.
Dum-dums paired with the smarties, so it's all mixed up.
Your class is only as smart as the stupidest person.
Yeah, so Sean's students, if you're looking around and you're the short end of the stick, if you're surrounded by the future valedictorians,
so much I can't comment on. You guys are not leaving me anywhere to go with the conversation.
Looking at you, Leroy.
Jenkins. That never gets old.
Oh, man.
Never.
So what you guys been up to this week?
Other than getting sick, receiving shipments of stuff I can't work on. I got huge copper pipe.
That's not a euphemism.
No, it's not.
Yeah, let's clear that up.
I've got huge copper pipe.
There you go.
And I think I actually found... I was trying to get... Hold on a second.
It's like 50 bucks worth of pipe.
I was trying to get Mr. Rolio to Rouleau to machine something for me out of copper. And he came back to me with... That's going to be 200 and some odd dollars. And I was like, oh, crap. Mm-hmm. So I got this huge piece. And I think if I can cut it and heat it and bend it, it might work exactly what I need it to be without having the machine anything. But I can't play with any of it right now because I only have about 5 minutes of standing time before I go, oh, God, I'm tired. I got to sit down. I hate being sick. Being sick sucks.
I thought this was one of your weight loss tactics, which I thought was kind of dastardly of you.
That's the other thing I'm pissed at. Like, usually when I get sick, I'm like, ah, cool. I can just, you know, I'll eat whatever I need to and I'll be good. But now we're on this damn diet bit and I got to stick with the egg whites and still try and lose weight while I'm sick. Not get sicker.
I mean, usually lose weight whenever you're sick. All the puking and the pooping.
Nah, only half of that.
I don't even care to know which one.
Yeah, we'll leave it as mystery. It makes me intriguing.
Have you, Wes, what have you been up to?
I've been doing a lot of sanding. That's always fun. I don't know if I talked about it last week. I got a vending machine. It's like a sticker vending machine project.
Are you going to bring them to all the maker fairs for your stickers?
No, it's that's sort of the intention, just not for me. It's a local video game company that I have a couple friends that work at, and one of them recommended me. Their owner buys like a lot of hardware for like old arcade machines and just vintage kind of stuff. He had the sticker vending machine. It was kind of beat up, had some rusty spots on it, and it was a color he didn't like, and it was kind of old. And so I took all the little like chrome like mechanism pieces that you put the coins in, like the coin out part, took those off, polished them all up as best I could, and like basically stripped all the paint off of it till it was like shiny, got all the rust spots off of it and old cracked paint, and I put a black new coat of paint on it, several coats of spray paint, and I went through some tutorials online about how you can sort of get close to like a, you know, shiny finish with spray paint and sanding it and wet sanding it and all that. And then you go on with like clear coat. I never actually did all those steps before. I just always read about them. I even went as far as getting a buffer to do like the polishing compound and all that. So it was sort of, I just finished some of it up this evening, and it's sort of dark in my garage, but I could see the reflection of my hand in some of it. So I'll call that a win.
Wet sanding is an amazing thing. I did that when I did the paint job on my motorcycle.
Yeah.
It's so cool. You can actually, what I did on the bike was I put a sticker on it and then clear coated until it was clear sand, wet, clear sand, wet. And then it was just smooth clear coat. So the sticker was just permanently underneath it.
Yeah.
It was really cool.
If I had more time, I would go on with more and more and more coats, because you know you can just keep going and get it that much smoother more time you put into it. But I'm going out of town for the next week and they need it while I'm gone, so I had to sort of cut it short and call it probably good enough. And yeah, that's what I've been working on, and I've been wrestling with my CNC machine, which is not fun.
Trying to get it to work. I saw that. Did you get it down to like bad G code or?
I have no idea. Yeah, I got it to do the same thing over and over again. Like, it starts at, I'm showing up a cut to the guys here on the webcam. So it started down here and it cuts fine, and then it gets a little bit higher and it drops like half an inch. It's hard to tell in there, but you can see it like drops several layers down. But then it just continues at a new depth that is not programmed. And it did that in wood. It did it in styrofoam. It's done it like 6 times. So a lot of people suggest it's like a mechanical thing, but I don't really think it is if it's doing the exact same spot in the model. You know, it's mechanical, seems more randomized.
I would try and carve a different model, just something quick and stupid.
It went through the roughing pass fine. It's just, this is the finishing pass, and I don't know.
Can you recreate the G code?
Yeah, I can recreate it. It's frustrating since I can't see a problem in the G code, but there's so many lines it's easy to miss something. So,
mm-hmm. I mean, especially in 3D carving.
Yeah, I might try that first before you go too crazy with it, because I've had some things where like the G code gets messed up on a couple of my 3D prints, and I ended up having to redo the model, but then it printed out fine. So I don't know where the problem came from. It just kind of came into being.
But you would think if it had a faulty G code, then the preview would show.
Yeah, that's
the erroneous thing, and it
doesn't.
That's
the first, exactly, because that was what happened on the model. I'm looking at the G code and the preview, going, "There's nothing wrong here.
Oh,
why?
Really?
Why are you doing the thing you're doing, and you're not telling me you're going to do it here?" Mm. So I wiped it all and started over, and then it went through fine.
Okay.
Using G code sender.
Yep.
Try chili pepper and see if it's something that G code sender is doing.
Is that free?
I believe so.
Okay.
I think chili pepper's free.
Mm-hmm. I'll try anything at this point.
I love how Wes goes for the more difficult thing first.
I just go right into it, man. That's just how I am. I just dive right in, sink or swim.
So, Sean, what's the update on your CNC?
I technically don't have one, which is why
was that a thing?
Which is why I wasn't going to bring it up yet until it actually happens.
And my bad. I thought you were gonna, my fault.
Because then I'll give proper credit for all that if and when it happens. Just because, yeah. It's funny, my son. I won't even say anything. I'll save it for later. But yeah, there's a possibility I might be getting a robot soon that does a whole lot of stuff. So I'll leave it at that and give update when I have more info, because I don't at the moment. This week, I was working on a 4-color screen printing press, very similar to the one our, I guess, a mutual friend Bob Claggett made a couple years ago in one of his videos, and actually used his video a lot for reference, because I think he made some improvements based on even like a reference to the plans. And it's pretty much done. I just have to go through and calibrate it. And I was building it partially for myself to do some t-shirts, and, you know, even for the podcast. But then it was also an order for my, both of my brother-in-laws wanted something like that because they want to do t-shirts too. So
you're going to build multiple machines or one machine in your town?
I don't know how that's going to work yet. It was to build one machine, which I built. And I don't know if they're going to be coming over to my house to use it or they expect that it's going to be sent over there. But
shared custody, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, sure. I'm not going to have much time to do much of anything right now, now that the school year is starting. But I think they failed to realize that they have to buy screens for the press. Because as of right now, I just, you know, springs down that said doesn't make t-shirts yet. And then today was my first day back to work, so my brain is going to be scrambled for the next 6 to 8 weeks because I'm teaching three different, not just subjects, but disciplines. Video production, AP computer science, and I have 4 AP English classes. So,
wow.
Yeah, I'm going to be kind of busy. So how about you, Josh? What have you been up to?
We have been traveling and putting out videos. And we went to a massive slip and slide party last couple days. I'm not sure what day it is right now. It's Thursday. It's Thursday.
Must be nice losing track like
so,
that.
I suppose. Yeah, that kind of is. I've been getting up earlier, so I know what time it is, but I don't know what day it is. But was it last weekend? We were in Greenwich, New York at Tony Rouleau's house. He hosts an annual like massive slip and slide party. So it started out for like family and friends and then kind of morphed into, you know, people in the maker community. And then slowly more people started showing up. And this year, Izzy Swan and Jesse Weta showed up. Keith Decent was there. Paul Desmond, Jimmy DiResta showed up. Matt Haas from Awesome Wood Things. So like a bunch of people that, you know, we all kind of mutually know and hopefully some of our listeners know as well. They came out and it was a really good time. So we hadn't planned on going up there until like after we'd made the loop like to Maine and like on our way back to Niagara Falls. But Tony called and was like, hey, you should come to the slip and slide party. And he has a big farm with a lot of room on a bunch of rolling hills. And he had room for the house and he had a 30 amp hookup. So parked my house in his driveway right next to a 250 foot long slip and slide. So it was super fun. Had a whole bunch of people come and check out the workshop and check out the house. And yeah, it was a really fun time.
I am honestly jealous of you being able to be there. And as I was watching like all the video and seeing the all the social media streams come in, it was kind of like watching a family barbecue that I couldn't be at.
It really was.
Yeah,
like, yeah.
It actually was. Like, it was his family's barbecue. And then there was his like extended, you know, community family. And it was funny because I think his family is probably used to it by now. Like, because all of his family lives in that same kind of area because it's all family farm that they split up amongst people. And his and Paul Granger. Yeah, his cousin Paul Granger that we know. Mark and I shared a room with him when we were in Boston at the Making It 100 event. But, like, it's his cousin, so, like, all of their families are there. And you'd sit down next to somebody eating some food, and they're like, do you know Tony through making stuff? I'm like, yep. He's like, oh, okay. I'm his second cousin, this. But they're super hospitable. Mackenzie and Tony are amazing people. Like, he's such a genuine person. It was so much fun. They had a Nintendo Switch, so Deacon was in their house playing Nintendo for probably 4 days straight. He liked it. Yeah, Jimmy DiResta showed up, and it was like, oh, Jimmy DiResta's here. And I always try to be, you know, whatever. I don't really know Jimmy DiResta a whole lot. I've met him a couple times. I mean, just as much as anybody in this maker community knows him. And he was like, oh, hey, Josh. He's like, is this your house? He's like, yeah. So he came in, him and Taylor hung out in the house, and they were going over the hedgehog that bit Taylor. Most passive. Well, I guess he's the most defensive animal in the world, went on the offense. offense to Taylor Forrest. So he checked out the workshop. Got to be in Jimmy Duress's pod or his vlog.
Nice.
That was interesting. Gained almost 500 subscribers in a day. So that was fun.
That was a really nice feature you had in that vlog, too.
Oh, thank you.
And hence the celebrity status I was teasing you about earlier, just in case anybody listening wasn't sure. And that's basically why.
Yeah, so I forgot which episode it was. I think it was something about them starting on the building, something with like a backhoe or something. Breaking, I woke up.
Breaking ground, yeah.
Yeah, I woke up the next morning and like my phone had exploded with notifications. I was like, I guess he put it out. And I guess that means I got to put out videos now.
Yep.
Because more people are around to expect them. So I've started it's all the footage that I've already taken. Because like I said, like I put out a second video today and it was day two of our trip and we're starting month number two. So I'm pretty far behind, but I'm trying to catch up. So Wes, you were in this video briefly. And then I think the one I'll do next is us at like Marbles. And so, yeah, it's rolling down the road, man. It's pretty fun. Yeah. And I guess on our way back through here to go back to Niagara Falls as originally planned, we're going to stay at Jimmy's house. So we've been told by he and Taylor that we're staying with him. So
can I refuse that?
You can offer, you cannot refuse.
Well, he's got a huge chunk of land, but like to get into the property, that's surprisingly narrow to get into like these two access driveways. I'm like, I would easily be able to pull the RV in here, except for this tiny little entrance point. He was like, yeah, the bulldozer people told me I should take that out. He's like, I haven't done it yet. So I guess there's a gas station across the street that he knows all the people. And he's like, people keep their RVs there all the time. He's like, keep your RV there and just come stay in the house. And so I guess we'll do that.
We could.
My wife can goo all over the farmhouse. It was awesome. But yeah, that's what I've been up to. We are in Mystic, Connecticut right now. So tomorrow is Friday, so I'm going to go hang out with Tim Sway and Vance tomorrow. Deacon and I are going to make the trek up there, go see him. So,
awesome.
Just a normal day, I suppose.
You know how some people travel the country to try to visit all the baseball stadiums they can visit? You're going to be appearing in more Maker videos from like everybody in the community than anybody else. Like, there's Josh's episode with Tim. There's Josh's episode with Jimmy.
Well, most of those were unintended. I just wanted to go play on Slip and Slide.
Looked like a fun time.
It was. Did a bunch of turning. Tony taught me some more stuff. So I turned my... I don't know. We did a box. I had a chunk of maple that a guy gave him from like a fence post from up the street. It still had like a nail hole in it. I made a phone and like Apple Watch charger. Oh, so yeah, we spent an entire day. I think the Monday, Tony took off work and we spent it in the shop making stuff. So it was great.
That's cool. Nice. Yeah.
So what are we talking about today?
A little bit of everything. So what about that thing we all signed up for? We'll talk about that again.
Now that no one else can sign up, yeah.
Is it locked?
Yeah.
I don't know, is it? I thought it was. So we're talking about something we mentioned last week, the diet bet. So there's a website you can go on that encourages you to lose weight by kind of putting up money. So we all pitched in $35. You're wagering against yourself. So if you lose 4% of your body weight in 4 weeks, then you get your $35 back. If not, that money gets divvied up to other people within the group. So last I saw, we had 8 people.
We got 9.
9? Ew.
Yep.
I think one of them is a former student of mine too, which is really kind of interesting.
There's some names on there. I didn't know.
That's cool. Yeah.
So my wife and I both are doing it.
Hey, Ben's on there. Ben Brandt. Ben? Nice. Yeah.
Does
he want that known?
I don't know. It's public information. Anybody can look at it.
Too late now. Who's Jolly?
That's me.
Oh, okay. I was like, oh, so where's Sean?
So how are you guys doing with it?
I haven't even weighed myself since we first did the weigh-in. But
I just did the weigh-in today.
My diet's pretty yesterday. Good.
So are you dieting or are you trying to change your way of life?
I mean, with my job, I have like fast food places to eat, not like McDonald's, or I have like Wawa's or Quick Checks or, you know, fast sandwich places. So you get pretty big, pretty quick on those. Plus it's a lot of money. So What I was doing is I did this before and I lost a couple months ago I was 260. And when I started doing this, within 2 weeks, I lost 10 pounds. So I don't know if that's going to happen again, but if it did, it would be awesome. I guess I'll spill my secret. Not that anyone wants to do this because it's kind of a crappy meal plan. I get those mini muffin pans and I fill them with egg whites. So while I'm going throughout the day, if I get hungry, I'll just pop two of them and keep going. So it's kind of just enough to shush the hunger away. And so every time I get hungry, I just pop a couple of them and keep going.
Little mini frittatas?
Yeah, kind of. If that's what a frittata is, I have no idea what a frittata is.
It's a quiche without the crust. Yeah.
Oh.
Quiche with no crust.
Interesting. So an omelet? Isn't that an omelet?
Pretty much.
Just smaller?
Fluffier.
French.
This is a fresh.
It's in a pan on a plate.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, I guess it's kind of changing lifestyle as long as I work at this job. Because it's just, you know, healthy food is not really an option. And healthy and cheap is definitely not an option. And healthy, cheap, and quick is absolutely not an option. So,
can you pack your lunch?
Well, that's what I'm doing. I cook these things. Yeah. I throw them in a bag, throw them in a cooler. As I'm driving around, I do that. It's just easier too because it's, you know, it's kind of a rushed thing. My days are normally, especially in the summer, it's got to keep moving, So. It's easier to just do that, pop them and go, rather than try and find time, stop, eat, then moot, you know? And I was going to start working out this week again too, but that didn't happen as of yesterday and today. So hopefully in a couple of days when I feel better, I'll hold on. Sorry. I feel better. I'll start that.
I don't know. Most of the time that I've tried to, when I was in the Army, I mean, you had, Wes probably remembers being in the military, you had like height and weight restrictions and you had to maintain a certain level of like physical readiness. So in the Army, like we did called physical training, we did PT. We did PT like every morning unless you were flying and then you kind of didn't. I flew a lot. So it was an excuse for me like not to wake up at 5 a.m. to go out with everybody and go running in the freezing cold. So you had to come up with like your own ways to try to stay fit and manage weight and things like that. And it was always very difficult to do because life gets in the way, but it was easier there because you were always on the move, like you're saying. So it's good just to be active at work. Cause I mean, the last job I had working in Georgia with the submarines, I worked in a cubicle in a bunker. So like, I sat down for most of my 10-hour day. I was sitting in a chair. It was terrible. Which, from what I've read, like, has worse health effects for you than just not working out at all. And so I feel really good just to get up and get out and get moving. But yeah, managing. I mean, we're not the smallest people in the world. I'm sure the managing weight for all of us has been something that's been difficult to do over time. So this is kind of good. This is good for all of us, but it's good. Like I said, trying to go on a diet, like, I don't know how many of you guys have ever tried to, like, air quotes, diet.
I could tell you about the crazy one I did before I got married.
It's like chili pepper and lime rinds or something?
No, it was, and looking back on it, I probably absolutely definitely got duped, but it was these little, like, insulin needles shot into my stomach, and then...
Whoa!
Yeah, and then, severely reduced caloric intake. So I got down to 230, but
that went a different direction than I expected really fast.
There's the needles.
needles.
Thinking you ate the tapeworm that Creed Bratton brought.
Yeah, right.
That was no tapeworm.
It was probably just water in the needles anyway. Cause that place shut down real quick. But it was one of those things where I was like, I need to lose weight before I get married. So,
Bridezilla,
Groomzilla, No, I was every time Tracy would ask me something, I'd be like, oh, what do you want? Because you're just going to do what you want anyway. It's your wedding. I'm just here for the cake.
And to inject myself with a phony weight loss plan.
I'm here to make myself look good for your pictures.
So
no, it, I look at those pictures now and I'm just like, oh, I want that back. I didn't have a big chin back then. And
so we're getting at in a lot of ways, just like generally, you know, health and how difficult it is, you know, trying to stay healthy as you get older and more responsibilities. And kind of like Josh was saying, where, you know, a lot of more professional type jobs as you get older involve more and more sitting down. At least it kind of seems that way. And I think that was probably part of the impetus for actually starting this diet. But, and I think that I had mentioned on the show before, and I know I've already talked to you guys about it, that at one point, probably about 3 years ago, I was a lot heavier. I was tipping the scales at about 300 pounds. And I was on the verge of having gastric bypass surgery. And after talking with my wife about it, I really didn't want to do the surgery. But at that point, I almost felt like I was out of options because I was still having issues with my foot. I didn't have the amputation yet. My ability to exercise was severely limited because any time I spent any kind of time on my foot or doing any kind of vigorous activity was risk of infection and then, you know, serious trouble that way. So I thought, you know, I've never really tried to lose weight, like really committed to it. And I came across a book who was written by somebody I'd been following for a while. Author's name is Tim Ferriss. He wrote a book called The 4-Hour Body. And pretty simple principles, and it wasn't about not eating, just slight changes. And within, I think it was 3 or 4 months, I lost almost 50 pounds.
Yes.
Yeah. And that was with absolutely no exercise. It was no crazy diets. It was simple changing the way I was eating and not eating a couple key things that I think probably had the biggest positive effect on my overall weight.
And like what?
Number one, cutting out soda. At one point, I was probably drinking 2 to 3 almost like equivalent cans a day. No dairy, no cheese. You know, all that stuff was essentially cut out.
All the fun stuff.
But I found really, really good substitutes that made it feel like I wasn't missing out on anything. And then cutting out almost 90% of all the carbs I was eating, because I wasn't exercising enough to warrant eating all those carbs. And just so everybody listening knows, like my basic dinner at home that my wife usually prepares is a meat, lettuce and some vegetable, and white rice. And that's it. But it was the white rice that was mainly hindering any kind of improvement in my weight, aside from all the other junk I was eating at that time too. So cutting out a couple of those things, it wasn't about not eating, just, you know, a little bit of switching. I was still eating plenty. There was never a point where I was still hungry after about like the first week, once you get over that adjustment period. And it was actually fairly easy. It wasn't that bad. Now it's just about trying to, you know, get that focus again. And then, you know, diet better or not, this is something I kind of need to do, because I still have a goal of losing about at least another 30 pounds for real health for me. So it's coming at a good time.
Nice. The timing's working out for you with that.
Yep. For sure. Now I just have to do it.
Makes it a little harder when you like all the horrible stuff, though. Like I like coffee in the morning. I recently found a coffee I really like, but I also use a lot more creamer than most people do. And I love spaghetti.
Yep.
It is my favorite meal on the planet, probably, spaghetti. It's the best comfort food ever. But
yeah, this might be a little too OCD, but like I said, this was a couple months ago. I put a little tiny dry erase board in the bathroom, and I have like a digital scale like right beneath it. And every night I would weigh myself and write it down. And then in the morning I would weigh myself again. And you actually lose like 2 pounds just sleeping. Just you breathe out. Wait, there's science. Magic. Look it up. That's where where the weight goes. You don't sweat it out and you don't poop it out. Like, it's got to go somewhere, like the conservation of energy and mass, right? And matter, conservation of matter. Basically, it's breaking down your fat and it's basically converting it to CO2 and oxygen.
So what you're telling me is if I go to sleep for the next couple of weeks,
try it. Weigh yourself. Like,
no, I know. I know. I've
weigh yourself, and you're not sweating it out. It's not water weight.
I've swung within like a day. I swing like 5 or 6 pounds, like from waking up to going to the bathroom, going to bed, you know, and it goes up and down.
Right. But my point is, like, over time, you'll see, like, a correlation and, like, a general decline. And it's motivating to see, like, an actual change in the numbers. Like, I kind of approach it more like a video game, you know, numbers kind of outlook, you know. And so it's motivating when you start out, like, almost 2 pounds lighter than you did yesterday. And so then you're like, okay, I'm at a good, you know, let's. I'm already starting off good, better than I was yesterday. So you kind of start out with that mentality. Like, this was work for me a little bit. So this is more helpful in that I have more of a focus, an actual goal, you know, where before it was just kind of, I was adjusting how much carbs I was eating and things like you suggested before. That's since April. So I've probably lost about 10 pounds, give or take, up to maybe 12 since April, but then I kind of slacked off on a lot of the changes, and sweet tea is very good, so I'm trying to find alternatives to that. Darn you, South. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they have like sugar-free versions, like Arnold Palmer iced tea. That's like a sugar-free little packet. That's pretty good. That's sort of my go-to.
Got to be careful with that, though, because I was doing that for a while, and it started giving me migraines.
Hmm.
All that fake sugar stuff.
Yep.
There's always a price to pay.
But I found, you know, we maybe go out to eat like once a week, or during the week itself, so I'm trying to find lower carb options, and I found like a really good meal that I enjoy is at Chick-fil-A, where you just like it. It's a chicken club. It has like cheese and bacon on the chicken. And then I swap the fries with a side salad. And then I could basically cut the chicken and all that stuff up, leave the bun out, and put that on the salad. It's pretty good. So,
something I saw a nutritionist when I was in the Army one time.
Yeah.
And she was saying that your true weight is in the morning, like after you poop. Like, that's how much you weigh.
Yeah.
Because we would do... we would go do our PT test every 6 months or whatever. So you go run 2 miles and do a bunch of push-ups and sit-ups. And then immediately after that, you go do a weigh-in. And it was like, all right, that's your weight. And this lady was like, well, it's really not how you should do it. And so it's kind of like what you're talking about. Like in the morning, that's how much you weigh. And then toward the day, you drink a bunch of stuff that's going to be absorbed and then broken down. And yeah. So that's when she would always tell you to weigh yourself. So naturally, for the diet bed, I weighed myself in the evening after I ate a whole bowl of spaghetti. But anyway, and it was little things like accountability and paying attention. Because I mean, my problem, I'd make the kids something to eat. And I would just get hungry and you'd start to kind of snack. And it wouldn't be terrible snacks. Like, I don't drink soda. I love drinking water. Water's yummy. And sweet tea, only time I ever drank sweet tea was when I was eating barbecue. So it was kind of worse because I would gorge on barbecue and then drink a giant like cup of sugar water.
Sure.
But she recommended this app called Spark People. Spark People was free and it would give you, you know, this is how much you weigh now, this is how much you want to weigh in whatever 6 months. And it would recommend like not to lose more than I think 2 pounds a week. And it was, you could track your food. It had a little like UPC scanner. If you were out somewhere or you have bought something, you could scan a thing and say how much a serving size was. And it was like a checkbook register for your food. Anybody knows what the hell a checkbook register is. But you would actually pay attention. And it was like, all right, if you want to meet this goal, you need to have between, I think it was like 13 to 1500 or 1800 calories or whatever a day, broken down by fats and carbs and whatever. And so as you would scan something, it would fill in all that stuff for you. And so every meal, you're like, oh, crap, I ate all that for breakfast. I pretty much used up all of my food budget for the day. Yeah, so I got tomorrow, I need to make better, you know, breakfast choices or lunch choices. Or if you plan on going out, you're like, well, I should probably amend the other two. So, yeah, Sean's holding – or Mark's holding up an app that he has. It's, and the Apple Watch has it like a health – a little health suite that comes with it on iPhones. It kind of does the same thing. Some apps in there you can get, but – and then when I was doing that, it was really irritating. Like, I got really mad at you talk about, like, all the bad stuff is your favorite. Like, yep. That's on purpose. The advertisers do that to you because they think you're stupid. And then you're being fat because they're smarter than you. And one thing that really irritated me, that pissed me off, I don't know if I've talked about this before. You want to eat a bowl of cereal, right? And so you go to the store and go look down a cereal aisle. What is the worst cereal for you off the top of your head?
Anything at eye level. Raisin Bran.
Yeah, pretty much.
Have I done it? Okay, so I've already done this before. Those bastards at Raisin Bran, right? Ruining your whole day. Thinking that you're doing something good, but you're not. Like sugar-free stuff. Like thinking that you're doing something good, but you're not. So many things out there that you think you're making a healthier choice because it looks like it's whole wheat and whole multi-grain grain. Like, stick to the basics, man. That's what I've learned, is just stick to the basics. And
get yourself some Mueslix.
And based on all that, I'm going to make a recommendation to anybody listening that's kind of curious about this type of stuff. Check out a documentary called Fed Up. It is more like those. It's one of those food documentaries, but it gives a little bit more historical data about when and why this changed in the American food diet. Or what they call SAD, the standard American diet. And it happened in the mid to late 1970s. And just to give a little bit of context of you know, the effect or impact it had on me, my wife and I were watching it for the first time, and it came out, they were talking about a policy that changed in the 1970s that kind of led everybody down this weird path in the 80s about thinking about what was healthy and what wasn't. And a lot of it just was not based on accurate information. That my wife and I both stood up in the living room and yelled at the TV because we realized we had been lied to our entire childhood about what was considered to be what was considered healthy at that time. So check out that documentary if you're kind of interested in kind of the history of how we got to where we are with a lot of the food that I think most of us, mainly kids in the 80s grew up with. I think it's a really interesting viewing. So check that out.
It's part of your balanced breakfast. I used to love that saying, and they would have a picture of like the Super Mario cereal next to like two over easy eggs, a piece of toast, and like breakfast.
Futurama made a joke about that, like sugar blasted sugar pops, part of this balanced and totally diabetic breakfast.
You guys know that sugar is the one ingredient that does not have an FDA regulation. That's why they don't have a daily value next to it on the.
Because you don't
on need the ingredients.
Because you don't need sugar.
They don't want to tell you how much you should or should not be having, so they're able to do things with it. That watch the documentary. I'm not even going to speak for it since I'm not the primary source. Go check it out for yourselves.
I know my wife has tried to make like broad sweeping healthier choices for the family, and I would get irritated when I go in like the cabinet that has like some snacky stuff in it. I'm like, why is there a package of quinoa in here where some granola bars used to be? Like, this is crap. And she's like, I'm trying to make better choices. I'm like, well, I'm hungry and I don't want to eat that because it's gross. But and she gets really clever because she did Trim Healthy Mama. You guys ever heard of Trim Healthy Mama? It's a book primarily for ladies, obviously. And it's so I think the biggest irritation with trying to lose weight and dieting, air quotes, is that there are so many things out there to tell you that so many things work and you should try it for this and you should try it like this. And there's a flood of stuff that doesn't have to be proven because it could work for one person. It works. But there's the market on you trying to lose weight by the super simple choices are limitless. Well, she had one that had a book and it worked on different proteins and things. I don't even remember. She tried to explain it and it was way too much. And I was like, how about just diet and exercise? Like, I don't exercise at all and I don't pay attention when I eat. So how about I manage those two things? And then I magically lost weight. Like, didn't need to do these crazy weird like vegetable juicing, or she got in a juicing kick for a while, which made me super sleepy at like 1 o'clock, and I want to pass out because I was so hungry, had no energy. But anyway, the Trim Healthy Mama thing, it had like food substitutes, like, oh, instead of eating a whole bunch of carbs, you can eat this. And we had like a pork roast one time, and she made a bunch of potatoes and carrots and stuff in with it. And so I was just eating these potatoes because it was all in a crock pot. And the whole time she was like looking at me weird. I'm like, what'd you put in my food? And she's like, nothing. Is it good? And I'm like, oh my God, what am I eating? She's like, those potatoes good? I'm like, I don't know. Or regular, I guess. She's like, that's not a potato. That's a radish. And so she had a bunch of radishes in the crock pot with the carrots and the onions and the whatever when you make like a roast. And I'll be damned, it tastes like a freaking, and it felt, I mean, the texture and everything was just like a potato, and she fooled me.
Really? I don't know how you can do that, the radishes. I like radishes. I'll eat them raw.
You can do that don't taste anything like cauliflower, radish. Too.
Cauliflower is exactly the same.
Cauliflower, yeah.
Yeah, the mashed cauliflower I want to try, but that whole roasted cauliflower stuff, that BS. They don't get crunchy. They just get soggy and mushy like you cooked them, because that's what happens when you apply heat to cauliflower. It gets mushy. Quit lying to me and telling me I'm going to have this crispy, yum, tater tot looking thing. You're a liar. Knock it off.
We had a bag of those like cauliflower tots, and we slipped one into regular tater tots into Samantha's just to see, and she instantly detected it. She's like, what is this? We just started giggling. Oh,
it's a bad tater tot.
Yeah, we're like, isn't it good? Like, she's like, no, this is nasty. She's like, it's like all gooey in the inside, like not cooked. Like, it looked from the outside good, but once you broke through that crispy outside shell, it was like mush in the inside. We're like, yeah, we tried it too. No, this, we threw the bag away. It's like, this is horrible. Even Grant was like, he starts like spitting it out before he even like chewed it. Like, come on. It's hilarious.
So what are some things that you have consciously had to change that you really, really enjoy that you realize weren't so good for you other than, you know, sweet tea? And have you tried to replace them, or are you just trying to cold turkey?
Like, wait, that you thought were good for you and weren't, or you just ate it and knew it was
just
bad?
Stuff, no, those guilty pleasures that like you just eat. And then when you're in this environment and you're trying to lose weight, you're like, oh, that thing that I eat is pretty terrible for me. And maybe I should not eat
a Baconator.
What was it?
The Wendy's Baconator. Actually, I don't get the Baconator because I like lettuce and tomato on my burgers, so I get the double bacon cheeseburger.
Maybe go for the junior bacon cheeseburger, just as good.
Well, that's like with the dieting though, because it's hard because, you know, we got the baby and dinner's dinner. So what I'm doing is instead of eating my normal plate, I get the little bowl and I eat a little later. So, because if I stay up too long, I get hungry again. So hopefully I fall asleep before I get hungry again. That's a big thing too. But mostly I've given, because the egg whites I kind of like. So the main thing that I miss is my coffee. Because I have that sweet tooth and I like my coffee in the morning. And, you know, I like, and, you know, like I said, I like all the bad things. I like potato chips. I like, you know, whiskey. I like the spaghetti and the coffee and the ice cream and, you know, all these things. And it's kind of like, all right, well, you're just going to be a giant lump of turd if you keep doing that. So,
or you exercise more. That's the thing, is it's like a budget. Well, I mean,
exercise is hard. Because working 10 hours a day, it's either I'm getting up at 4:30 in the morning to work out before I go do a 10-hour shift, or I'm coming home, waiting till they go to bed and working out after 10 o'clock. So that's what's rough for me.
I think you just have to try to, maybe while you're on your feet doing stuff at work, incorporate, you know, lugging heavier things around with you.
climbing taller poles.
Some ankle weights on.
I actually, you know what? I did do that once. I wore ankle weights to work one day, and they fit under my jeans, so I wore them all day. I got home, I was tired, but the really hilarious side effect is after you've worn ankle weights
for 8 to 10 hours and you take them off, it's the freaking Ministry of Silly Walks, because I was lifting my legs way higher than they needed to go. And my Tracy looked at me. She's like, "What the hell are you doing?" I'm like, it's a side effect. Shut up.
I could jump to the moon. I'm so strong.
It's kind of one of those things. Because I was, and the other, yeah, I'll admit this one. It was when I was still studying martial arts too. And I was like, oh, and I watched Dragon Ball Z. So I was like, oh, I'm going to get some weighted clothes. And I actually had the weighted, the ankles and the wrists. And I was looking into getting the weighted jacket to throw under everything to wear that all day. But I think I'd probably die now trying to do that.
Huh. When you think about it, you kind of already have all that weighted. You're already weighted.
Yeah.
You know, that's what you're trying to get rid of.
This is true.
John, what were you going to say?
Based on the question you asked, I think the biggest thing is the impulse that I had before, simply of, if I'm hungry, I'm going to go eat. And that means a lot of times it meant just going through a drive-thru somewhere because of convenience. It was impulse. I didn't have to think ahead of time about what I was going to eat because food's always at the ready. You know, and the other side effect of that is it's expensive. So if I could plan things out ahead of time, and if I could plan things out ahead of time where I don't have to decide later on or make a choice, it's that much easier. But I have to, you know, sit down and plan the night before, make sure I have my lunch ready to take. And then there's no decision-making process. And the same temptation isn't there. It's already set. So as long as I don't have to think about it and I've already prepared it before, it's not too bad. It's pretty easy that way.
We found that when we're driving, it's like, you asked about road trip snacks one time, Wes.
Yeah.
And so we're on this perpetual like road trip snack kind of thing. And you have to be able to make a conscious choice to eat better, or you will find yourself at like the bottom of a bag of Doritos or going by and like a pack of gummy bears everywhere. But I've started like kind of for the kids, like rationing and portioning off smaller little snack size bags of stuff, because they're savages and all they want to do is eat. And so I got them a little brown bag each, and we packed it full of stuff that they know that they like, or not packed, but like put in individual servings of things. And so one that lets them know that like when they're out of whatever it is they're eating, they're out, like yours is gone. And it's kind of good for us because I can portion out smaller sizes instead of just kind of mindlessly going through like a bag of popcorn or whatever it happens to be. And so I can keep track also if it's a longer day. I'm like, I've only been in the truck for an hour and I've already eaten through this bag just because I'm bored. Because I don't know for you guys, but like the line between boredom and hunger, is completely blurry as you get older. And so trying to be more mindful of it before you just kind of on a whim notice you're at the bottom of a bag and you don't really remember how good it tasted, you know that there's your problem. Or that's my problem. Is it if there's leftover spaghetti here, like spaghetti delicious, I'll just sit down and eat spaghetti while I'm doing something else and realize that three people's worth of spaghetti now was sitting in the bottom of my gut for 2 days because I just wasn't paying enough attention to what I was doing.
Right. And also, you have kids, there's the impulse as well to like, oh, you didn't finish that? Let me help you kind of thing. And you really can't do that because it adds like another whole serving at least that you don't need, you know?
Yep. That's a good point.
Yeah, it's easy to do that. Like, oh, you didn't finish this ice cream sandwich. I didn't even have ice cream sandwich. Well, it's only half of one that I wasn't supposed to have. You know,
there's only two left. Up. You can't put just two back in the cabinet.
Right.
I don't know. Hopefully some of these little things have either helped or encouraged you, you know, look at how you're eating or how active you are or are not, you know, because it plagues everybody. And so this diet bet not only was, you know, a fun little thing for the community, but it was also to help all of us. And hopefully just not the bet. I mean, get out and try to make some smarter choices, because we're not getting any smaller.
This is true.
You don't see a bunch of super healthy, fit-looking old people. It just kind of happens. So you got to fight it.
Either that or they're Italian.
Think about it this way. There's probably an entire adult's worth of weight between all of us. There's a fifth member in weight amongst all of us, probably, that we could stand to lose. Yeah. Maybe not by the end of the diet bet, but just I'm saying, like, whatever your goal is.
It also depends on what... what scale you're looking at too, because I've looked at things and they're like, oh, well, you're 6'2 and you're you know, 37, you should weigh 198 pounds. And I'm like, whoa, if I weighed 198 pounds, I'd be the sickest looking person on the planet.
I think we all know what our healthy weight should be. We don't need some chart to tell us.
Well, it's one of those things you research. Like, well, how big is an average person in my age and height? You know?
Oh, you're good enough, you're smart enough, and we like you. So as long as you feel good in who you are and your doctor says you're not obese or you're not underweight.
Is that Louis C.K.
get your beach body back.
You're visually fat. Gosh, darn it's not it. Not a health issue. Wait, so you're just telling me I'm fat? Yeah.
People like you.
So, who's excited? Who's excited to geek out about stuff on Netflix tomorrow?
I wish I could, but I'm traveling. That is on my list, though.
Defenders.
All right, no spoilers.
Defenders comes out tomorrow. I'm still a season behind. I got to watch Iron Fist.
You can fast forward through half of it.
Yeah. Man,
guess the second half.
That's all I hear throughout the whole. Man,
in the trailer for the Defenders, he has like iron fisted up. He made a glowy fist almost as many times as he did it in the entire series, and that's no joke.
Huh.
Yeah, in the last trailer, I think he did it 5 times. I think in the series he did it 9. So, and this is less episodes than the whole series did. So. Geeking out. They just announced that they're starting early production on Obi-Wan, the Obi-Wan movie. No, nobody's excited about that. Okay,
I didn't hear anything about it.
I absolutely am.
It was speculated for a while. I don't know how I feel about it yet, though. I don't know if we need every little single second of the Star Wars timeline fleshed out and explained.
Why I want I new characters. Know. This is
I would like for them to do new stuff, yeah, but there are worse characters you could choose.
I think going back in time to some of the video games I've done, like the Old Republic, would actually be more interesting and probably have more free reign. I don't think we need to be so focused on this, you know, 30-year timeline, you know, that we knew, you know, everybody's
it's
individual
the,
story.
It's the extended length episode of the Jerry Springer special on the Skywalkers.
And I really hope my foreshadowing of Rogue One opening the door for just like the perversion. I mean, the Star Wars universe has already been pretty perverted and materialized and merchandised, but like I saw that as the beginning of a gradual downslope, and I really hope that I'm wrong.
Mm. I mean, there's so much promise out there, and there's so much like you could go so much farther with Star Wars than what they've done. You know, stop circling the one family. There's like, that's why I liked Rebels, you know, because they only kind of touched on the Skywalkers, like, oh, hey, they crossed their paths. And it's been like 2 seasons, 3 seasons, and you saw them once. So that was cool. And it was just an extension of all these characters. And it's,
I am geeking out about something kind of, well, I think it's kind of interesting and might even be kind of somewhat minimal, but I spent a half of last week in Vegas visiting my parents. They moved there recently. And during one of the days, I took my kids to an arcade, and they had a Mario Kart arcade cabinet there, you know, the side-by-side racing. And I've played Mario Kart before, played on the TV, but for some reason, sitting in like the simulator there in the arcade made it feel so much more immersive. And a couple days ago, they just showed in Japan, I think they have a VR version, a virtual reality version of Mario Kart 2.
I saw that.
And that looked really cool. And Nintendo does some amazing things, but it doesn't seem like they ever scale it to really be available to the masses sometimes. But that's something I would love to see, you know, more people have access to, because it's fun. And I love that world, especially for, you know, playing with your kids and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so many games are based on violence and, you know, being so dark, the colors and just that cool, fun environment was really cool to play, you know, to be a part of, you know, even just in the regular arcade game. So that's what I was geeking out about.
Nice. I'm geeking out about the eclipse.
Yeah, because you can see it.
The eclipse? You never heard about that?
Of the I've never heard anything about this.
Of the heart, the total eclipse.
But I'm
was waiting for that.
Yes. Yeah, that's where we're traveling. We're going to Missouri. By the time you hear this, hopefully we'll already be there. We're leaving tomorrow. Monday, we're meeting up with one of the guys in the community, Mr. Ross Carroll, or Dr. Ross Carroll. He's a physicist from Arkansas State, I believe.
He's a...
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he's...
I did not know hey, his Ross. Intelligence went that high.
Oh, man.
I thought he was like Sean teacher. Mister? Higher than me.
No.
Wow.
Yeah, he's a professor.
Holy he's crap. Part of a 50-team... research grant, basically. They're launching weather balloons with imaging hardware, and they're going to help. They're basically live streaming the eclipse from where they are. They're setting up all these weather balloons along the path of the shadow and of the 100% totality. And they have like tons of Raspberry Pis in them and lots of cameras. So they're imaging downwards towards the Earth, and NASA is going to have live stream of the actual eclipse on their website, and they're basically piggybacking from one balloon to the next as the shadow goes across. And they're also going to make like a giant mosaic of the actual path and all this stuff. And so he's launching it in Fulton, Missouri, and I'm going to go out there. And another guy that I met at Cape Canaveral a couple years ago, he lives nearby there. He's going to meet us. So it should be pretty awesome. He's going to launch a balloon. He has like a ground tracking station there. So we're going to get the solar eclipse experience that other people are driving to get, but like an even an additional amount of geek thrown in there. So we're excited. And I encourage anybody that if they're on the fence about whether or not they want to go, you know, if they live in like a 90% and like, oh, that's probably good enough, and you live close enough where you could have the opportunity to drive to get to 100, all the reading and watching I've done since then, all the people that I've read about, like talking about this experience, like you should do it. Go the extra little distance, fight the crowds, and it's probably going to be pretty busy with traffic and everything. But apparently the experience that you get in that difference is pretty mind-blowing, so I'm looking forward to it a great deal. And I've crossed my fingers for good weather, so because that would suck to have all this anticipation and then it'd be cloudy. You're like, ah!
Yep.
One cloud could ruin it, but it should be cool.
I was in coastal Florida whenever the Orion launched off, the newest like manned capsule that the United Launch Alliance had. And it was the cloudiest, nastiest day. So, like, they launched it and like you could barely see anything. Yeah. Like, oh. So hope for good weather for you guys. We will unfortunately be in the heart of New England and nowhere near totality. So I thought about that too. I'm like, why does the slip and slide party get priority over the solar eclipse?
But you have another chance in, like, I think 7 years, 2024.
Yeah, and there won't be another one in North America for, like, 100 years after that.
Yeah.
Or quite some time. I don't know about 100 years, but quite some time after the 7-year one.
Yeah. And that's going from, like, Texas to, like, New York, that kind of direction. So a little bit different. So don't be completely bummed out if you can't make this one. There's another chance.
Right on. Sorry. I'm getting at my friend Debbie. My friend Debbie from high school started a company. Actually, she's an artist, and her business is called Dream in Color. And she does these amazingly beautiful, like, swirly epoxy paintings. Like, if you're in this community and you saw Peter Brown, one of our previous guests, made this, like, swirly epoxy painting where he took, like, a blowtorch and all the colors kind of blurred together. Well, she does that on top of, like, normal painting. And I've cut out a bunch of states and things for her on my CNC that she uses as a canvas. And this last batch that she's made is beautiful. And all of her work is for sale. And she's making us a clock to go on this wall right here in front of me. And she posted a video of it the other day that I reposted on my personal Facebook page. And it is stinking gorgeous. It looks like the beach. But, I mean, she does all kinds of different colors and everything. But go check out Dream in Color on Facebook. I think she has a website. I'm imagining if you try to look up Dream in Color, you'll find it. But at least on Facebook, you can check some of her stuff out. And it is very, very reasonably priced for someone who wants something amazing looking in their house. It doesn't have to be some goofy state. She makes proper paintings. But I wanted to throw her work out there because it's amazing. And it also helps me. So, Dream in Color. Anybody got anything else about not being a fat turd anymore?
Well, I found a new YouTube channel I've been kind of geeking out about, and it sort of ties into the weight in a way, in a sort of like a long kind of way to do it. Basically, his name is Tucker Gott, and he has a YouTube channel all about paramotor sport. Are you guys familiar with this? It's like
the
paragliding.
Giant fan on your back?
With a giant fan on your back. It's a backpack with a fan on it and a big parachute, basically.
Parasail.
And one of his most recent videos, he flew his paramotor to McDonald's to get a bite. And it's like at 4.5 million views or something. So it's kind of blowing up in this last week. It's pretty hilarious. He's like 10 miles away. He flies to it, lands in a field directly beside McDonald's, leaves his stuff outside, goes and gets two double cheeseburgers, runs back out, starts it up again. He packs them like, kind of like Napoleon Dynamite style into his pants, like how he's like stuffing the tater tots in there. And he like eats one in flight, like on the way back. And it was just really cool. And like, I look at some of those, his other videos are pretty interesting. One of them, he actually goes to 15,000 feet. In this thing, if you think about it, you're sitting in a chair with a fan on your back, your feet aren't in anything, you're dangling there, 15,000 feet up. It's just crazy to me. But in the way it ties into the weight, I looked at some of the prices and stuff trying to get into this, and the threshold between different engines that you would need. My weight is like right at that threshold. So if you're 230, if you're over 230, you need this more expensive one to haul your heavy ass through the sky. And if you're less than, a certain amount, then I had this sort of a similar run in when I went tandem skydiving many years ago with Catherine, and I was almost too heavy to do it. And it wasn't like an exorbitant amount of weight. It was just like around, if you're 225, you might not be able to do this because the person that you're attached to, you might hurt them, basically. So it's kind of like, wow, okay, that's sort of eye-opening. But
my mom went on a huge weight loss plan just so she could sit in the front seat of a roller coaster, because she hadn't been able to for a while. She was super tall and she was big anyway, but it's one thing she really wanted to do. So she lost a bunch of weight, and that's like her victory lap. We went to Islands of Adventure. She rode every single thing, every ride they had in the front seat.
That's super
cool.
It took
forever. Yeah. So whatever that goal is for you, you need to eye on that prize. Go paragliding to McDonald's if you want to, and make healthier choices, or ride front seat of roller coasters, or do a backflip on a trampoline, whatever it is. You got to focus on that. Eat some carrots instead of drinking sweet tea.
Yeah. So maybe that might be one of my goals. Maybe I'll try to do like a training. You can do like the flights where you just kind of do once, like teach you, or you just kind of go up one time, like kind of thing. But I don't know. It's sort of interesting to me. I'm already into aviation, and I'm not super interested in doing the pilot's license thing, because that's like a whole new bag of worms that I don't want to really get into. This is sort of more a free version. It's almost like a jetpack to me. You know what I mean? As far as like,
if you're going up to 15,000 feet, you need to have a license for that, because you're getting into different airspace.
I looked it up. Yeah, you would think. I thought that too. That's where the FAA limit is at 15.
For some areas.
Right.
Yeah.
But I was surprised to read that.
You're near a major airport, you will get killed.
Of course. Yeah.
And fined.
He's like in the middle of nowhere. Actually, I think he's out in New Jersey, if I'm not mistaken. So look him up. It's pretty entertaining. That's all I got.
We would love to hear from all of you. Please visit makinggeeks.com, check out the contact page, drop us a line, list a question. If you're a regular listener to the show and you want to hear us talk about a specific subject, let us know. We take all the suggestions into account. You might just hear your suggestion or question on the show. And go ahead and visit the homepage of the website, and you'll be able to see all of our past episodes. You'll be able to listen right there on the homepage at makinggeeks.com.
And you can find all of our social media. Don't make me laugh. You can find all of our social media on Making Geeks Podcast on Instagram, Making Geeks. Yes. Making Geeks on Twitter, and Making Geeks on Facebook.
I'd like to thank our awesome patrons over at patreon.com/makinggeeks. Your financial help assists us great dealy in keeping these shows on the air, and we'd like to give a shout out to our newest patron, Mr. Keith Decent. He's joining the ranks.
Thank you, Keith.
And as usual, we shout out our highest patron from week to week, and that is Mr. Seth Williams. Thank you, sir, for your support.
Yeah, buddy.
And we appreciate it.
So I have to admit something really quick about Keith Decent. Besides him just being an all-around just great guy, I was subscribed to his YouTube channel under my like personal YouTube thing, not my workshop. And Keith's videos are awesome. And he does not get the recognition he deserves. Like, he does not have enough subscribers to warrant the quality and the creativity that he puts in his videos. So I can retroactively go, you did two geeking outs, I'm going to do two geeking outs. You can go check out Keith Decent on YouTube and watch the amazing stuff that he does. We need to have him on as a guest. I'm going to declare that. And I think we're all in agreement. So, Keith, this is your formal invitation. Think of something you want to talk about, or you can talk about yourself, if whatever. That's what you want to do.
Lame.
Yeah. Like, Keith is super fun, but go check out his work. Keith Decent on YouTube. And on that note, you can find all of our own individual bodies of work at Asylum Designs on Instagram, Thingiverse, and Twitter, geekbuilders.net, or at a classroom near you. Geeksmithing.com and thepiworkshop.com. And every week we love hanging out with you guys. I'm glad that we can be a part of your Saturday or whatever day that you get around to listening to us. And hopefully this episode helps you kind of be a little introspective, get out and try to make your life just a little bit better, as we are attempting to do. So thanks for hanging out with us. We hope you have a fantastic week.
See ya.
Good night.
Wow.
Good night, sweetheart. It is
time to go. My sultry voice, rah.